Ramsey TV.
Morton Zander, what's the best thing about the gospel of the uncircumcision? What's the best thing about it?
Well, you don't have to have the end of your penis cut off. That's the best thing about it I can think of.
But Morton Zander, I don't have a penis.
Well, then you're ahead of the game. What are you waiting for? Jump right in. This is Morton Zander. I'm keeping things straight for you from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. Understanding that there are two Gospels in the New Testament is the greatest help for you to understand Scripture you will ever know. You might be under the mistaken idea that two is more complicated than one. Oh, no. Two is much easier than one. Because if you think there's only one gospel in the New Testament, you got some big problems. You have the famous theological problem of James, one of the circumcision writers, writing to the dispersion among Israel, saying that faith without works is dead. Then you have Paul saying, oh, we're saved by faith apart from works. You have to try to make those two things fit. You have to make it fit. 1 John says, if we are faithful to confess our sins, then God is faithful to forgive them. If not, woohoo, well, it doesn't go so well for you. You have to somehow make that mesh with Paul saying that we're justified and that God is not reckoning our sins against us. You have to make forgiveness, that is, you did wrong, but we'll pretend you didn't. We'll let you off the hook. You have to make that gel somehow. Good luck with justification. That is that you're declared righteous. See how difficult it is if you only have one, but now you have two. So picture two bins. One bin over here. You see how it's V-shaped? It's a bin. See? It's V-shaped. You put stuff into it. When I was a kid, we had a bin. It was called a catch-all. Used to put all our little baseballs and soccer balls and everything goes in that bin over there. Then you have another bin over here. So in one bin, you have all the stuff having to do with law and Israel and the earth and forgiveness and do this or else and be faithful or die, overcomers. He who doesn't overcome will not eat of the tree of life. Over here, you have wonderful things about, I can't get this bin straight over here. Okay, about grace, about where sin increases, grace super exceeds, about if we disown him, he is remaining faithful. He cannot disown himself. All these wonderful things. You just put it in the right bin. You just segregate it like paper and plastic. If you like to segregate paper and plastic, you can save the earth. Uh-huh. Well, this is even better. You can save the frickin' scriptures from contorting them, from trying to twist them, from trying to put square pegs into round holes. You do that with these beautiful bins. Got one bin for the circumcision, for Israel, for Peter, for the earth. You have another bin for the uncircumcision, for Paul, for the celestial realm. No law over here. You got law over here. You got no law over here. You got circumcision over here. You got no circumcision over here. Am I getting the right sides here? The bins. Yeah. So this is the most beautiful thing. Two is much easier than one.
Oh, it's two. Why is it two?
It's the best thing. It's easier. And it's legit. It's there. It's in the scriptures. Now, there's some great conversations, great threads going on the video that I made yesterday on this topic. Oh, one person asked me, they were surprised to hear, and I understand this, people don't realize this. They thought that circumcision was a rite God brought to Israel for their health purposes. Like, well, it's cleaner if you get that foreskin off of there. You know, it's just cleaner. Don't ask any more questions. But no, it's not about that at all. It's about that Israel was going, their strength was going to be their numbers. And that what God said to Abraham, you know, that which comes out from you. And so it was going to be a reproductive marvel. And of course, that's where it started. The miracle, Abraham couldn't have a kid. He was immune to sexual desire at the time. And his favorite male reproduction organ was unable to be invigorated, I should say. Isn't it interesting? Invigorate. I think there's a root word there, Viagra. The scripture says, no, it actually says in Romans 4, God invigorated him. Yeah, so it's spiritual Viagra, I think. It's what God just put the nutrients in there. And it's like, suddenly Abraham's interested in something besides Sarah's cooking. Yes. So it was a wonderful thing. So that was going to be the main thing, is this reproductive organ. It's all going to start with Abraham's reproductive organ. So the rite of circumcision was a humiliating thing to remind them constantly through that pain, through looking down there and not seeing it. It's supposed to be embarrassment. Yeah, it's supposed to humble them, make them realize this is God's thing, because God did a miracle to cause Abraham to have a son. It was a miracle. But see, you tend to forget the miracle. The first time, everybody knows it's a miracle. Everybody knows how it happened. It's a legend. Yeah, God, you know, I was 100 years old. Sarah was as good as dead. Nothing had been happening for years. All I cared about was her pierogies. And then all this, you know, what a pierogi is? Well, ask somebody from Pennsylvania. So you tend to forget the initial miracle. So in order to remind Israel that initial miracle, that it was God's power, not the power of Abraham's loins, the rite of circumcision was introduced. Happy to be able to explain that to you. Now, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, this was a topic of conversation on the thread there. Paul says in verse 6, I am marveling that thus swiftly you are transferred from that which calls you in the grace of Christ to a different evangel, which is not another, except it be that some who are disturbing you want also to distort the evangel of Christ. Now, that may sound like a very complicated sentence, and in the concordant version, which is accurately translated, it might seem strange. Let me explain this briefly, and then I'm going to tell you the story that I promised yesterday I was going to tell you. This is a classic. I've told it before. Hopefully, I'll tell it 10 more times. I love to tell it. It never gets old. It is first century drama come to the 20th century. Yeah, this is the 20th century when this thing happened to me. Not the 21st, the 20th. Here we go. No, back to Galatians 6. So, Paul was marveling that they were swiftly transferred. Transferred from what? From that which calls you in the grace of Christ. That is Paul's gospel of the transcendent grace of God. No law, no circumcision, no baptism, all that good stuff. They were being transferred from that to a different evangel, which is not another. What do you mean? Well, there was another gospel operating at this time, contemporaneously, and that was the gospel of the circumcision. Galatians 2, verse 7, another important verse. Seeing that I've been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision. Some versions will mistranslate that, and they will say the gospel to the uncircumcision and the gospel to the circumcision. That's not right. It is of. It is the character of it. Of speaks of the character. It's the genitive case. You can play the music to the Japanese, and you can play the music to the Mexicans, and you might very well be playing the same music. But if you play the music of the Japanese and the music of the Mexicans, you're playing completely different music. Yeah, the Japanese music would go something like, and the Mexicans would go, you never hear Japanese doing that kind of thing, nor do you ever hear the Mexican go. You never hear it. So it's the character of it. Totally two different gospels, two different good news. They're both good news. One is aimed at Israel. Peter became its caretaker. It concerns the earth. And one goes out to the nations, non-Israelites. It concerns the heavens, not the earth. And Paul became its caretaker. Jesus is the common denominator. When he was on earth in his Jew suit, he confirmed the patriarchal promises, Romans 15:8. But when he went to the celestial realms, he came back and he apprehended Saul the Pharisee. Once he got out, this is important, Saul, when he was out to destroy followers of Christ, he went outside the land. That's when he was apprehended. He was no longer in Israel. And Christ appeared to him not as the ex-carpenter from Nazareth, not as the little boy of Joseph and Mary, not the dusty carpenter getting tired, getting hungry, getting thirsty, having no place to rest his head. No, ladies and gentlemen, he appeared to Saul as the glorified Christ at the right hand of God. No more Jew suit. Now he had a message for all humanity, not just Israel, and not only that, but the whole world. This is the greatest truth you'll ever hear. One of the greatest truths, besides the salvation of all. But you only, Paul's the only one who teaches the salvation of all, by the way. That's right, he is. So this, Paul says, this gospel that you're being transferred into, it's not another one, because that means it's not Peter's. It's not another one. Peter's is a legitimate other gospel. I'm not talking about that. Paul said, if you belong to the circumcision gospel, to Peter's gospel, that would be legit. Because Peter is my friend. He's a contemporary of mine. He lives in Jerusalem. I'm here in Antioch. He believes the Abraham gospel. I used to believe it. I mean, I still believe it, but I went on. Oh, somebody else said, well, Martin, if you're saying that all that's needed to be a member of the circumcision gospel is to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, well, Paul believed that. Everybody who's in the body of Christ believes that Jesus is the Messiah. Yeah, but that's the starting point, but you go on from that. You see, it's very easy for Paul. Paul grasps the whole field. Paul was an expert on their gospel and his gospel. However, Peter was not an expert in Paul's gospel. None of the circumcision knew hardly anything about Paul's gospel. Paul barely explained it to Peter. That proves it's not the same gospel. Paul had to explain it to Peter 14 years later. He went to Jerusalem to submit his gospel to Peter. Peter says, what's this I hear you're teaching out there among the nations? What are you asking for if it's the same gospel? Because it's not. Paul had to fill him in. Paul knew everything about the circumcision because he had lived in it his whole life. And then he got informed of this new gospel, and he became the world's authority on that. So Paul was up to speed on both gospels. Peter, not so much. The other point was made of, well, speaking of this mixing, let me finish this first. So the gospel that they're being transferred to was not another one. It was a different one. So there's two different wordings here. Paul says, you're transferred to a different evangel, which is not another evangel. If it had been another evangel, it would have been Peter's evangel, and we're going to cut you some slack because that's a legit evangel. But what's the different evangel then? The different evangel, Paul explains it. I'll let him tell you in his own words. A different evangel, which is not another, that is, it's not Peter's, except it be that some who are disturbing you want to distort the evangel of Christ. There it is. The different evangel is a distortion. It is not a true evangel. So you would have to go like this, watch the kitchen cam. It's a different evangel. You have to put it in air quotes. It's a different evangel. This belongs in air quotes. It's not a true evangel. It's a distorted evangel. So it's not so bad because it's true that the circumcision gospel, the Abraham gospel, God gave it to Abraham first. It does contain some grace. Yeah, there's grace and law mixed. Paul's gospel, it's undiluted grace. It is not mixed with law. I'm adamant about that, and so was Paul, and he went ballistic when he heard that some from Jerusalem were coming and distorting his evangel. I've used this analogy before. It's like you have two radio stations, one FM, one AM. They both come in pure and holy. The FM station is Paul's. The AM station is Peter. FM is the gospel of grace. AM is grace and law mixed. And they're both coming in clear. If you have an antenna for the FM, you hear that. AM, you hear that. The distortion comes in when you start to get crosstalk. When all of a sudden you get some interference coming into Paul's gospel. And Paul's like, what's this? What's this? He's got his earphones on. He's monitoring it constantly. like these guys during the Cold War in the submarines. They were monitoring the enemy transmissions. So Paul's tuned into it. Wait a minute, we hear something coming in. Oh, something foreign is coming in to the gospel. What is it? What is it? It's Law of Moses. What? So the frequency is getting jammed. It's all screwed up. And some of the Galatians are so stupid, Paul can't believe. In fact, he says in chapter 3, verse 1, love this in the J.B. Phillips paraphrase, dear idiots of Galatia, who bewitches you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was graphically crucified? Somebody was bewitching them, jamming the signal. They thought it was legitimate. Now, this sounds like nice music. What, this? That sounds like nice music? That's what happens when you mix these two gospels. You hear a bunch of mush, a bunch of garbage, which is what most Christians hear in church. They hear grace and law, grace and law. But they're trained to think that that sounds good. A little bit of music, a little bit of shit. They think that sounds good. I shouldn't say that. Shouldn't say shit. Because law by itself is fine. Grace by itself is fine. It's that bringing it into Paul's gospel where when it enters into Paul's gospel, then it becomes shit. It's not shit by itself over here because law is legitimate. We know that the law will be fulfilled in Israel when God puts what? The law on the hearts of Israel. That's the essence of the new covenant. Puts law on their hearts. It's a beautiful thing. It's called being born again, but remember this, being born again is not an individual experience. Being born again is not a good Israelite here and a good Israelite there. Oh, are you born again? You hear that? Christians, are you born again? Born again is not an individual experience. No one is born again today. I will repeat that since it is so shocking, this time wearing sunglasses. No one is born again today. Why? Because being born again is a corporate experience. Isaiah prophesied of this saying, shall a nation be born in one day? And this is the verse that was referred to or inferred when Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus. And he said, don't you know that ye, plural in the King James, they even get it right, ye, you people must be born again. He wasn't telling Nicodemus, you, Nicodemus, must be born again. No, if you look at it in the Greek, even in the King James, they use the Old English, the 1611, ye must be born again. You Israelites must be born again. It's a national rebirth. We in the body of Christ are not reborn. We're a new creation. I'm getting a little bit off the topic because I love explaining the differences between these two gospels. I love telling people that there's two bins, one here and one over here. One here and one over here. There's two different bins. It makes your life so easy after that. It makes Scripture make sense for the first time. I see I'm not going to get to the story that I wanted to tell you, this great account of first century drama that happened, I think it was 1997. Could have been 96, could have been 95. I doubt it was 98. I think it was earlier than that. See, because I want to luxuriate in that story. It's so great. I'm sorry to disappoint you. If you had popcorn popped, you had the kids gathered around the computer, I'm sorry that I didn't get into that today as I promised, but I think this was popcorn worthy today, I hope. So I just want to close today's show with my own experience. Even when I was reading the scriptures on my own, and something always bothered me about Paul. He seemed to always go like to the extra degree. He seemed to, I used to call him Mr. Radical, Mr. Over the Top, Mr. Just took it to the next level constantly. He made some crazy radical statements, what I thought, and I couldn't explain it in light of the other scriptures. You know, he would say things like, you know, where sin increases, grace super exceeds, stuff like that. And also, you know, our sins are no longer being reckoned to us. The law came so that the transgressions would increase. All these wild statements. And Ephesians 2 seats us among the celestials in Christ. among spiritual beings? What? Earth people? People from Earth? Seated? What happened? Seated among celestial beings? What happened to the meek inheriting the earth? And then, of course, I'm reading the whole Bible because you're supposed to read the Bible. I'm reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'm finding out Jesus telling his disciples, don't even go to a road of the nations when you herald this gospel. Don't even go outside of the land of Israel. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thinking to myself, if this is people's one and only chance to believe the gospel and get saved, then Jesus has a funny way of teaching it. Don't tell this message to 99.9% of the human race. Don't go to America. Don't go to Brazil. Don't go to South Africa. Don't go to Antarctica. Just stay around this area right here. How is that preaching the gospel to all the nations? Jesus did tell them in Matthew 28 to do that, but that will be after he returns. Somebody had a question about that today, too. Well, didn't the 12 take the gospel of the circumcision around the whole earth? No. Peter talked to one guy that wasn't an Israelite. Ooh, good job, Peter. Didn't you listen to Jesus when he said, shepherd all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Weren't you paying attention? That was in Matthew 28, the so-called Great Commission. What did Jesus say after he says, lo, I am with you always? He left. I am with you always. Bye now. See you in 2,000 years. How is that being with you always? Because this was not meant to be fulfilled. The disciples knew that this wasn't the day for that to be fulfilled. Well, they thought it might be fulfilled if Christ had returned to establish the kingdom. But we know that he didn't, because the leadership in Israel rejected the testimony of the 12. They committed the so-called unpardonable sin, which is a sin that won't be forgiven for this eon or that which is impending. It's not unpardonable, as the King James says. So I saw all these things that didn't fit. Then when I found out there were two bins, and I looked at Galatians 2:7, the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision, I was like, there it is. There it is. Those are the two bins. And then I hear Paul talking about another evangel. What, another evangel? Yeah, Peter's evangel. Then he talked about this different evangel, which was a terrible thing. That wasn't a legitimate evangel. There aren't three. It was a different evangel in that it's not an evangel at all. It's an admixture of law and grace. It doesn't belong in Paul's gospel. I love it when things make sense. This is why my first thing that I wanted to do when I learned all this was I wanted to teach it to other people. I wanted to tell other people how great this was. So I wrote a book about it. That's how crazy I was to get it out. The book's called The First Idiot in Heaven. I got a copy of it right back here. Yeah, hang on. I'm going to show this to you. Then I'm going to end the show. I'm going long here. Hang on a second. Here it is. First Idiot in Heaven. This is the best book ever written on the topic of the two gospels. You can find it on my... No, it's not bragging if it's true. I couldn't find one book that had all the different nuances, all the different details, listed all the differences, and it gave the genesis of both gospels, so I wrote it myself. This is it has illustrations in it. You won't find this much fun in any other book on this topic. What other book has a painting of Hitler in drag? There's no other book like this. You get it at my website, martinzender.com, The First Idiot in Heaven. Operators are standing by. Get your copy today. Now tomorrow you might have to repop the popcorn, because I'm going to tell you of a great account of what happened to me in Michigan that will put all this together for you in a practical example. It works where the rubber meets the road, or where the body of Christ meets the celestial realms.